Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 834. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Yeah, Kevin, how about yourself?
This starts the week of grand jury duty for yours truly. And, blanket statement here that should not be terribly surprising. Criminals are not the smartest group of people. Just throwing it out there. Not a lot of mastermind criminals that I am running across up to this point. I know that might be a shock to some who watch TV shows and there's only mastermind criminals out there. But just throwing it out there. there might be further discussion on that since I have, there is that. So that's going to make my week a little more interesting than normal. But, one of the normal things I'm still, fitting in here, even if I watched both SmackDown and Raw on Monday, I did fit in my WWE, watching. This week. What is it? It's less than 3 weeks from WrestleMania.
Yes, no. Saturday will mark. We're about 2.5 weeks out, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if it necessarily feels like it, though. They are moving the remaining pieces slowly into place. I cannot believe that we are nearly 2 weeks out and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are still not fully back together and announced the challenge for the Tag Team Championships. I get not doing the full reunion at Elimination Chamber, but this is getting ridiculous.
that's not the only one that's taken some time, but yeah, let's go ahead and tackle that one first because it is, as per usual, pretty much the biggest storyline. We get some acknowledgement that Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn are on the same page on SmackDown. But on Raw, Kevin Owens is still not committing to anything. And,
how'd that work out for him?
yeah, did not work out well for him. I don't know if that's gonna finally be what pushes him over the edge here.
I mean, I imagine it doesn't sound like Roman Reigns is going to be on SmackDown. His next appearance will be on Raw next Monday, which I guess is now going to be when everything finally comes together. But
no.
Man, are they waiting till it's not the last minute? But once again, there was no need for some of it. It feels like WWE TV was hotter in the weeks leading up to, say, Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber than it is leading to WrestleMania. And that should not be the case.
I mean, I think we've already laid a bit of a foundation of, not completely trusting this card.
Yeah,
or two cards.
I mean, it's
should you want to qualify it that way.
Definitely heading into last year, the lineup looked better, and it ended up being an all-timer of a show. But the key is, as we mentioned last week, they had no momentum and followed up, and they weren't able to follow up on anything and had no momentum. This year, it's all about the momentum they have heading out of WrestleMania. So, and once again, this is going to be in place for that. But we do have this, after spending months with Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn, I do agree with some people who think that this Roman Reigns Cody Rhodes story doesn't have the same juice. I mean, all it has is, yeah, well, your dad. And that's pretty much all it has. That's pretty much all they got.
Oh.
There's no real history between the two to really call back on or real build-up that's been done here. But at the same time, Cody is the guy. Cody is the guy who should end this 2.5-year reign and have a hell of a run of himself. And I don't doesn't necessarily need to go 2.5 years, but you need to pass the title on after something like this to something that will carry the company for another year or two. Not necessarily saying that Cody's going to have a year reign, but as the guy at the top of the company, the guy who talks the part, looks the part, you know, it's not a bad worker under any, you know, under any imagination or any real logical, you know, thought process. Cody's a good wrestler. Cody, he looks the part, he talks the part. You know, God bless Sami Zayn, but he's not that guy.
No.
Now, once again, you know, I know people will get their, you know, we'll make the reference back to Daniel Bryan, but in 2014, there wasn't a Cody Rhodes. There wasn't somebody else who fit the part better, and Cody does. He absolutely does. But in the meantime, we've lost the heat. We've lost that narrative. And there was an argument. But Sami Zayn in the spot at WrestleMania. That's it. There wasn't.
If there was a more, having Sammy and Kevin Owens continuing to be in the story, I do think that does not help them focus just on Roman and Cody.
No, it doesn't. No.
That is one part, and it is kind of tough, I guess, with Roman doing limited stuff to get this story across. You know, they have done more of a less is more in a lot of ways. Even if we have had, you know, the Paul Heyman promo with Cody and, you know, other things to kind of move this along when Roman wasn't around. That lack of Roman Reigns time, especially this time of the year, I guess, is a little more felt than it would be at other times.
It really is. Once again, we're moving very slowly through all of this. You know, Roman and Cody have only shared the ring one time, and it was your dad promo. You know, well executed, you know, fine, but once again, these two just don't have the history each other.
Yeah.
For you to really feel it. You're those two type of things. Like, the build up to this match is lacking, but Cody should still be the guy and should, you know,
and should still win.
should still be the guy in the match. It's like the follow up is what is more important. And I think that, you know, there will be some strong follow up. I'm sure Roman and Cody will have a very, very good match. I don't doubt that. But, you know, the 6 weeks to get there has turned into a bit of a slog.
Probably not one of the better main event angles. Heading into to WrestleMania for sure. And I guess that is strange for something that had been atop the card for so long. I think that not the clear baton handing off is the biggest culprit, really. In this situation.
Now, once again, if we weren't ending a 2.5 year title reign, you could have a little bit more fun. You could have let Sammy have a short run or around those lines, but this is the most important thing they've done in the last 10 years. Ending Roman Reigns' title reign the right way to the right guy. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, you've mentioned it a number of times. Like, it's been 2.5 years. You know, because I'm trying to remember what. I always forget what CM Punk's title reign was.
It was something about like 15 months. This is past 18 at this point. At this juncture, I believe, or close to it. Let's see, it was August, the end of August of 2020.
Okay.
So September, October, November, December, January. Yeah, he passed 18 months at the end of February. It'll be just after 19 months by the time we get to WrestleMania.
Yeah. So he's beaten this by a decent distance. And that's not really the point, but it does make it that important when you have someone with that championship for that long.
Yes.
You know, at some point, and like you said, like, you've got to make the transition to the right person, and yeah. We have sung Sammy's praises left and right, so I mean, I'll leave it there. I love Sami Zayn.
I love Sami Zayn to death. He's in a great spot. They're dragging out. They're dragging it out far too long to get to where they need to get. At this point, we kind of knew that night one was going to be headlined by Steve Austin. And, you know, there was.
Oh. Yeah.
But now, you know, there's a question. I mean, because you won the Royal Rumble and it's the important title match. Do you let Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair close night one? Does that one have the heat to close night one? It's they've now married themselves to this two night concept. But you know, in 2021, you know, people understood the whole thing about, you know, COVID and the first show with fans and splitting up over two nights. Last year they did it as well as humanly possible, but this year I don't know if they have the show to split the perfect two shows to split over two nights.
Yeah, it's it is going to be interesting to see what route they go. Because, yeah, I mean, the women's championship, I mean, we talked about it last week, and I'm not sure that we really need to rehash the arguments, per se. Both of the women's championship matches are just like, okay, I want to see Trish and Lita and Becky versus Damage Control. Thank you very much. Like,
yeah, no. Bianca and Asuka is the most paint-by-numbers, babyface versus babyface build they can do. They're reluctantly teaming, and, you know, you've got two heels who aren't even going to be on the show, aren't even important enough to be on WrestleMania, playing spoiler. It is the paint-by-numbers thing they do when two babyfaces are going to wrestle each other, and they don't want either of them to turn.
Yeah.
It's
not a pretty sight, usually.
No, and then Charlotte and Rhea are rarely interacting with each other. You know, Rhea, of course, has to be involved in other... You know, the Judgment Day has three separate matches at WrestleMania, which is an impressive feat. Yeah, but Rhea has to be involved in all the other angles, too.
Yeah.
So she can't just focus on Charlotte. And Charlotte doesn't seem like she's on SmackDown every week either. So it's, you know, they have not been able to build a more personal rivalry between Charlotte and Rhea to really feel like you stick the teeth through it. But, of course, Rhea did win the Royal Rumble, and the Royal Rumble is supposed to guarantee you a main event at WrestleMania.
Yes. And, I mean, I would not be completely surprised if they put that at the end of night one.
No, it wouldn't at all.
Because that is at least one where, and I think we might have said this last week. If not, it definitely bears repeating. Both of the women's singles matches are probably going to be great.
Yes. No. I still think this is going to be a good show. I know we're supposed to run through things, but, you know, they're doing the by the number stuff with the Intercontinental thing. You know, we're dragging it out to get that triple threat match going. And of course, and I mentioned on Twitter, the match on Friday is going to be Drew and Sheamus fight each other. Imperium runs in. beats up both guys, thinks they caused a no contest, which means that nobody wins. But then Pierce is gonna make it a triple threat.
Yeah, that's another one where it's just like, yeah, just announce it that way, guys. Yeah, I do know that they had Gunther do the hey, this was for a challenger, not challengers.
But that
is just foreshadowing.
Yeah. And once again, that should be excellent. A triple threat match with those three guys?
Sign me up.
That'll be great.
But yeah, it's not going to have any real build, though. Because they're dicking around with who is going to be his actual challenger.
Yes. Yeah, they're dicking around too much with... Yeah, great word. Great terminology there. They're dicking around too much.
And they
don't have real... build for it. They don't have a real build for anything.
Because didn't they kind of take, like, 1 week for... Did Drew McIntyre come out during a tag team match?
Yes, that's what he did, yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Then the next week is when he made the formal challenge, which Sheamus then interrupted. And then, for reasons I'm not sure if the other guys got involved.
Just to extend the result, yes. The actual result of things, even more weeks for reasons unknown. Yeah, they do not feel like real twists and turns in the story there.
No, and...
Like you said, it is a slow plotting way to get to what we all know is coming.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they've chosen the slow plotting way to get to everywhere they need to go. And once again, most of these matches should be good. I'm not. The build up hurts. The lack of strong build hurts. But once we're there, I'm sure I'll be in the moment and enjoying. Our two-night extravaganza.
But
this whole week, particularly this whole week of TV, with SmackDown not even happening yet, feels just like total filler, unnecessary filler.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. We were looking forward to the build, and now it hasn't really come at all. You know, it seemed like things were off to a good start with the Royal Rumble, and things have not really gone that smoothly. And I hadn't thought to go back to kind of the original point that we ended up tangenting off of. Rhea being in three feuds is not helping her out, especially when she is really a main attraction in two of those feuds. You know, like, I know that she isn't a number one with the Dominic feud, but she is a very close number two in that story.
And you know what? Rey and Dominic might actually be the best storyline heading into WrestleMania. And Rey's hesitation to accept the match and make it official makes sense in that regard.
He has really, they have shown him over a number of holiday segments here, because, did they start at Thanksgiving doing those skits?
You start the skit at Thanksgiving, that's when they really started, slowly interacting again.
Yeah.
I mean, the decision to put Rey on SmackDown... to get them apart for a little while was a very smart decision. That they've had the patience to keep Rey from striking Dominic until right near the end of the line is tremendous. No, this storyline, now that we're probably in the we're in the after effect of the Roman Reigns, the post mortem of the Roman Reigns, and Bloodline, Sami Zayn stuff, really, is now the best storyline in WWE, and it had been close for a little while too. what they've done here, the patience they've shown, and it will pay off. It will absolutely pay off when Ray finally, you know, goes off on Dom. And if they could, and at this point, they could probably get it to WrestleMania before Ray gets a shot at it.
Yeah, I mean, I figure that, yeah, they're not going to wait. I wouldn't think that they'd wait until the last week to actually announce that. They could.
They could, but I think now Dominic knows he needs to do something drastic to get his dad to accept it, whether that involves the mom and the sister or what have you. You know he's going to... He's gonna have something up his sleeve over the next week or so.
Yes, I would imagine that something, some hijinks will ensue that forces Ray to do this. Oh man, yeah, it has been fun, and yeah, the whole jailhouse stint and everything, they have. And yeah, they've done a good job of moving Dominic in the right direction. And I even think that he's had some fairly, like, I was paying more attention to him this week, I guess, than I had in a while. And I'm like, is he doing okay in there finally? So I kind of have hope for the match itself, too.
It should be fine. Once again, it will have an insane amount of heat. When Ray finally hauls off, it will be a beautiful moment. And they've and again, this is they've done this perfectly. And again, it's off to you. For making Dominic interest, which a lot of people didn't think was possible. But you know, when you get to the point where it's like you're not supposed to take him seriously. No, he can't beat anybody on his own. No, but you want to see him get his ass kicked by his dad.
Oh.
That's what this is all built to, and it works.
Yeah, they have done a masterful job with this story. It is one of the ones that will land very well when it does at WrestleMania. Trying to think of some of the other feuds that they... Oh, well, I guess we can kind of stick around the Judgment Day with the only feud we haven't really talked about. Edge ends up throwing out a challenge this week to Finn Balor. And we confirmed get a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania. I mean, that was an announcement. It was this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was this week. No, yeah. Not unexpected, but a way. But once again, I'm not the biggest fan with how they've dragged this out. But at the same time, it should be good. I mean, there's no reason for it not to be good. It's your big brawl match. It's your big weapons cage brawl at WrestleMania. There doesn't seem to be any other match that has brewing with stipulations of the such. So they'll get all the bells and whistles. To execute this final conclusion to this feud. So that should all be good. Edge is good in these types of matches. Balor is good at about anything. So it should still be good. And I'll certainly look forward to it. Especially as I mentioned, it's the only match with this kind of a stipulation to it.
It's something that I thought about when you were throwing out your thoughts there. What did you think about the fact that Edge mentioned the "I'm not sure how much time I have left" during his promo?
I mean, I don't...
Not much?
No. There's just not much time left. I mean, I think he does plan to put that retirement over in the next year. I don't think he lasts longer than at least next year's WrestleMania, if he doesn't, shut it down in sometime over the summer. I know they're going back. I know SummerSlam's in Detroit, obviously, but they are going back to Toronto in August. Does that wind up the place where Ed retires?
Wouldn't be shocking.
It's possible. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I didn't put a lot of thought into it, but I was just like, oh, okay. He was, he does kind of have that thought in his head.
I'm sure that contract that he signed in 2020 and may have had some frozen time when he injured himself after the Randy Orton greatest match ever. No, that contract is very likely probably coming due soon. And if he was out 8 or 9 months, then 8 or 9 months maybe gets us to August.
So it's
very possible. Or he said it's sometime we can essentially get some next year's WrestleMania. But yeah, I don't know. There have been a lot of ups and downs with this Edge return. But if he can go out on his own terms, the way he wants to, great. The other person I'll be interested to see, how much longer they go is Rey Mysterio. Announced for the Hall of Fame while he's still very active in a major storyline.
I guess I did wonder if they would have inducted him in any other year, but they just used it as more leverage for the storyline. This is happening at some point.
I think they were in a bind this year. Rock's not coming. Obviously, Batista's not coming. Who's left? They've already run through the 80s and 90s for headliners. They're well into the 2000s. Who's left? I mean, really at this point, besides Ray, besides Batista, Cena, Orton, who do you headline with? If those two aren't up, I guess it's Ray.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time.
It's not Jericho. It can't be Jericho. So, of the people who were big in that era, who's left?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I wonder if their classes are going to get smaller.
They already are. I mean, last year, I think they only got up to five people, including the Warrior Award, who went in.
Oh, okay.
Because now they're doing it as a secondary thing, but you buy a ticket to SmackDown in the Hall of Fame on the same night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Which is fine.
Offhand, I can't think of anyone that they would have in there. At least as a headliner. The one that just popped into my head, have they inducted RVD yet?
Yeah, he went in 2021.
Oh.
That was...
They
put him in as like the secondary person to Kane's headliner.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be looked back at as like the lost... It's one of the lost 2 years.
Oof!
Can't headline with anyone too big for that. So let's put Kane in.
Oh man, Kane had quite a run, but yeah, also an underwhelming headliner.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason they waited to do Undertaker.
Fair enough.
Kane got in before Undertaker, technically. which you wouldn't think that would be a thing you would do, but they were in a bind. And this year, I mean, once again, great, incredibly deserving, but not who they were was really hoping for. Certainly, I think Reyes are choice number three, probably.
Yeah, I would think that they wanted to try and get one of their Hollywood. Well, I mean, I guess since John Cena's having a match, he could go into the Hall of Fame the same weekend, right? Did the WWE do that with someone?
Flair.
Flair, oh.
And obviously Rey's wrestling anyway, so.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, once again, Cena scheduling, how long is he actually going to be able to be there for? Is he only coming in for the one day? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? We don't know that question yet. The only thing we know is that, you know, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes are going to headline Sunday. I think that's the only thing that's guaranteed as far as what day everything goes.
I'd agree with. I guess other hype for WrestleMania that were it was segments this week on WWE TV. Brock Lesnar and Omos have a showdown.
I mean, it's doing what they need to do to make Omos seem like a threat. you know, Brock did his job once again. I mean, there were people who were, you know, trying to look at Brock's facial expressions, body language, and think, is he bored? Is he done? You know, and maybe he's close. Maybe he is. Maybe he's close.
Oh, yeah. Like, trying to predict him, like, I definitely did not think that his second run in WWE would be longer than his first run.
No, I mean, we're 11 years into this. I mean, he's been part time, but they've done about everything. I mean, all the dream matches have been done. I mean, the only things left you could do with them at this point are Gunther, which apparently was brought up for WrestleMania, but Brock may have ixnayed it.
Then,
you know, a run against Cody. I mean, that once he's the champion. I mean, there's. Really, beyond those two things, there's nothing more new you can do interesting you can do with Brock.
No, and there aren't a lot of big guys that are in a position to challenge him, really.
No.
Because didn't they do Braun Strowman already in Brock?
They've done that. And
yeah.
Every time they're in the ring together,
things go wrong.
Braun accidentally bonks Brock in the head, and then Brock bonks Braun in the head out of purpose.
Oh, man. Yep. That will never not be funny. I don't know. I can't say I'd be able to parse Brock's body language from this week. I mean, he did the same act with Keith Lee, essentially.
Yeah.
And I mean, I did have to laugh the things, the one part of their physical alteration did not go as planned. But whatever, you know, we both know that it's going to be a spectacle match. We are not getting a 15-minute mat classic from Omos and Brock Lesnar. We've talked about it being an attraction match, and I mean, I think that they did a good job of, you know, selling the attraction this week, honestly. There's not a lot you need to do with it, and it's not going to be one of the I wouldn't think that it would be one of the longer Brock feuds. Like, this definitely feels like a WrestleMania and done between Brock and Omos.
Yeah, it absolutely is. That's what this is. Once again, I mean, they seem to have run through a lot of options to get Brock a match at WrestleMania, and this is what they landed on.
Oh.
And it's gonna be what it's gonna be. It's gonna be 5 minutes. I mean, I guess the only question is, you know, is Braun still strong enough to do his his big spot, his big suplex in F5 spots, and is, you know, almost athletic enough to, and flexible enough to give to go up for Brock. I mean, once again, and you're watching it. I get that from that smart mark perspective, I guess. Otherwise,
right.
You know, if everything goes off without a hitch, then it'll be a fun little 5 minutes. Once again, probably not the best use of Brock at WrestleMania for what he's paid, who he is, and what he needs.
Oh.
But this is where we're at. I don't know all the machinations that went on behind the scenes to do get us this point, but this is where we are. So this is what they will. This is what they're going to give us. So it will not, unless Brock physically can't do what he used to do anymore, and almost is just too incompetent to go up for Brock, it will be fine for what it is.
Oh, yeah. Another match that is getting some build, but strictly on Raw, I think. Seth Rollins and... why am I forgetting his name? Logan Paul. Not that hard.
No, not hard at all. But once again, when Logan Paul isn't there, you know, using the Miz as a proxy, you know, fine. I mean, it's almost, you know, I know Miz and Logan Paul went through their breakup and had a match with each other, but it is almost that fake celebrity Hollywood thing that they're gonna pretend to be.
Oh, buddies.
Pretend to be friends again.
I mean, it does help that they are clearly painting Logan Paul as the bad guy in this situation.
Yes. Two slimy guys coming together to be slimy. And once again, some good stuff here. The match itself will be tremendous. I have no doubt of that. It might actually end up being the match of the weekend. It's definitely something I'm looking forward to. Yeah, I mean, this week, not much to it. I mean,
no.
Seth beat Baron Corbin quickly with Miz on commentary. Nothing too special, but it's all in service of promoting a match where one of the participants will not be there every week, but the match itself will be tremendous.
Yep. Yes, it will. And I mean, honestly, I can't believe that I've kind of scrolled through the rest of the shows and there isn't a lot of other build-up. Like, there have been other people on shows.
I mean, once again, during the WrestleMania build-up, why are we doing this over... It's funny, but why are we doing this stuff with Otis and Maximum Male Models? Why are we giving Mustafa Ali TV time with Dolph Ziggler? There's another egregious one?
I'm kind of mystified. This is the part of the review. It's just because they seem to be doing something with Bronson Reed. But I have no idea where he even fits on a card.
I mean, unless they're doing the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and he wins it.
Yeah.
There really isn't one. And the stuff with Elias
and Boogs,
you know, that's silly comedy. I mean, I guess maybe they'll do some like lighthearted segments involving people with, obviously with Miz hosting, with people like LA Knight, people with like Elias and Boogs, maybe trying to do a concert together or something.
Oh,
as some comedy filler, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, because I mean, we got the because there wasn't really Like, I guess the women's triple threat match was mentioned earlier, but that's the only other thing I think of that got some hype this week, but it really didn't
what,
get...
triple threat? You mean six-woman tag?
Or six-woman tag, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that was all done backstage. Could have been filmed last week, and none of the principals were actually there.
That looks sneakily not like it was this week, but who knows? For sure. but yeah, I mean, that didn't really get that much hype. Like, I guess I was trying to think of other things too. So I'm trying to, you're thinking of other egregious. I mean, the one thing that's still, I guess it's interesting to me that the Street Profits are gonna not be on, like, don't seem to have a spot on the card anywhere. With as much TV time as they got. Like, I did find that segment really interesting where they're just like, they were almost previewing Montez in Theory, but they're like, nah, we're going to throw Dawkins at him so he can take the L this week.
Yeah, no, and the, well, the match is fine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they really did. I mean, not that there's anyone should really complain about it, because after what Austin Theory took on the Microstone last week, but they really did let Austin Theory dress down the Street Profits for a pretty long time, and that's it.
I'm not sure that he completely got everything back from last week, but I'm like, wow, like I'm with you. They really let him roll on the Street Profits there.
Once again, and it wouldn't surprise me if my thing with the Street Profits is, if we're gonna do a draft in the weeks following WrestleMania, as has been rumored, just split them up without turning one of them. We all know that they're high on Montez, and Dawkins has tried really, really hard to not get left in the dust. He really has. So let's see what we can do with him. But let's not turn them one on the other. Let's not do a feud.
Yeah. They seem more suitable than the New Day is not separating. You know, you can separate those two instead of leaving them a unit whole time. But
yeah, no. I mean, Montez Ford is going to be a giant star. I mean, that's a guarantee. And I think Dawkins can find his way, certainly.
Yeah.
But my thing when they break up a tag team and have them feud, the loser of the feud never goes anywhere.
Oh. Yeah, so they're kind of dead in the water.
You have a way to separate them without having either of them lose anything. And I think they should take advantage of that.
Yeah, agreed. I kind of scrolled through the rest of Raw. I don't see anything else that an egregious use of TV time. And I guess unless you go with Gargano and I'm blanking on so Loomis. Many names and Loomis.
Gargano and Loomis against they fight on the Judgment Day.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, except for Priest, they're going to be all over WrestleMania, so it's fine. And once again, the hallmark of the Triple H era of creative has been longer matches, so getting some time, you know, not a huge deal. But no, I mean, Gargano is set for NXT Stand and Deliver against Grayson Waller. He's not going to be featured in a major spot for WrestleMania. It looks like, if we pull out the Battle Royal, he might be in it. But you know, the last couple of years, they've thrown the Battle Royal on the SmackDown the night before, and it wouldn't surprise me if they do that again.
Oh, yeah, that seems pretty pretty normal to go with. Anything off the top of your head that we have not hit for the main WWE topics?
Well, I guess the saga of Bray Wyatt and whether his his rumored match with Bobby Lashley is going to happen or not. I mean, yesterday the news was all over the place that the match is off. Bray has walked out through the creative differences. Then slowly it was, well, Bray's had a physical issue the last couple of weeks. And then today, well, it looks like the match is still going to happen.
Yeah, I do feel like they were a little curious by their absence on Raw this week to not at least get some type of, even if it was a primer video, you know, I don't really recall anything happening this week. So, yeah, they're kind of in that category of, they haven't really gone with the... Well, yeah, Brock and Omos has gone better than Bray and Bobby Lashley. Like, I do... I mean, I do kind of like the, you know, the stark difference between the two, but I feel like we need more interplay than we've had happen.
Yeah.
You know,
this is the way we're going.
Yeah, because, I mean, Bobby Lashley hasn't really been rattled at all, but it would be kind of interesting to maybe see Bobby Lashley do some rattling of his own.
Yeah, no, I mean this whole, once again, we talked about ad nauseum, this whole Bray Wyatt return has not gone well at all. I hope everyone involved can recognize that, and then whether there's creative issues, whether Bray's really hurt or something, hurt doing what? I have no idea.
Training, I guess.
I have no idea. But hopefully we can figure all this out. Once again, a lot of different rumors being spread around, a lot of different speculation going on. But the fact is, once again, these two have not really interacted together. Bray hasn't physically been on screen in several weeks.
No.
In the ring, live in the arena.
Right.
We'll see where this all goes. And hopefully, for everyone's sake, they can pull it all together, because this has the potential to be the worst match and the biggest disaster of WrestleMania at this point.
Unfortunately, that is a moniker that Bray Wyatt is going to carry to his grave. Honestly, like I don't.
Oh my god.
This year is not, even if he has a great match this year, it is not going to completely absolve him of past sins.
No. Yes. It is time to figure out how to do this and do this right, or cut bait, or the two sides need to cut bait once and for all.
He needs to. I thought they did an okay-ish job with the LA Knight stuff, but honestly, the moment that LA Knight came out and started to get pushed again, it was kind of like, what the fuck? I mean, I know that the push is kind of limited with LA Knight.
Well, apparently he hasn't won a match on television since January.
I mean, I could be mistaken. I don't think he's won a match. But with as much TV time as that man gets...
They do give him TV time. I mean, he's definitely... I think they are setting him up for a spot at WrestleMania where he talks a lot of shit and gets destroyed by somebody. Whether it's a legend or what have you. I think that's maybe where he's going. We're going with LA Knight. Or someone's going to return and drop him with their finish or something is, once again, his whole thing is being a big mouth, but then never backing it up, and him showing up at WrestleMania talking some shit and getting his ass kicked. I think that's likely where we're headed.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I don't know if I necessarily have anyone in mind for that to happen from, but hey, they've surprised me before. But I think I'm fresh out of hype here. I think I'm fresh out of WrestleMania hype that's made it to TV here. What say you?
I think we can move on to some other subjects before heading on out of here.
Well, one subject. Always have to ask. Did you watch Rampage this week, Chris?
Absolutely not.
Still a Friday night tradition, so that I really don't remember a whole lot that happened by the time it's Tuesday and podcast recording night. So, yeah, I mean, I think I saw Action Andretti versus, Sammy Guevara was on the card.
Yes, I did turn on, I did briefly turn on, AEW Rampage, saw that match going on and said, screw this.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
I don't get the Sammy Guevara is never going to be a favorite, and I don't get the Andretti thing. I mean, we're already moving Starks on from the Jericho Appreciation Society. He doesn't really have a personality of his own. I mean, he's got some high spots, but there just doesn't appear to be much more else to this Andretti fall.
They are kind of talking about how young he is, and I'm just like, well, yeah, he occasionally shows that he's that young. Like, he's not blown me out of the water like some other youngsters that are around. I don't think he's bad, but I also don't think he's blown me out of the water. It's somewhere in between between those areas. I guess some big news that hit on Pi Day here, Chris. The Bella Twins are no longer the Bella Twins.
They are not. Yes, today Nikki and Brie Garcia announced that they have officially parted ways with WWE. It felt like it's been coming ever since the Raw 30. Fiasco where they were advertised and then either they walked out or were pulled, and now it's, you know, did they refuse a contract offer or did WWE never make a serious contract offer? But it definitely felt for a little while that both sides were gonna make a split, and it will be interesting to see what they do from here. And I made the comment that I don't think Brie cares as much. But Nikki is definitely the one with stars in her eyes I'm not sure she can survive without some level of spotlight. And so that'll be interesting. Once again, and I made the point earlier, it really dawned on me, like, they have spent years and years trying to build a lifestyle brand around a name, around a pretend name they didn't own. Like, how are the people who've done any kind of business with them, you know, going to feel about Garcia? You know, I did some digging just to dig around. There's already, like, a Nicole Garcia who's, like, huge on TikTok with 13 million followers. It's not an uncommon name.
Well, yeah, I mean, that does sound like one of those, I am in no way surprised that this is a common name. Because Garcia is kind of in that realm of Smith.
Yes, it is.
Where it's just like, yeah, man. And what's that? Oh, I think, what is it? Singh is a very common last name for Indian people. So, like, there's always some common like last names.
It's going to be, it's what's going to, you know, what, you know, they're trying to compete in this in this world, this influencer world, with everyone who's ever been, you know, eliminated from The Bachelor, basically. You know, you know, trying to have a clothing line, trying to have a makeup line, have a podcast, a YouTube, you know, whatever. You know, and the ace they might have in the hole is the wrestling thing if they want to go to AEW. But to the best of my knowledge, Nikki can't wrestle that often. Apparently, neither can Saraya. They're trying to work around that too. So.
Yeah, they have definitely made that clear. I feel like with her in ring appearance as being quite limited.
And I guess you know, Nikki and Brie could join up with Saraya's group if that's the direction they want to go. I mean, it's like you could do that. Although for Saraya, even though I think you know they're pretty good friends in real life.
Oh.
Once you add those two to the equation, especially Nikki. Nikki would essentially take over as the leader, I think.
you're demoting yourself.
Really want that, yeah.
If you bring them in, you are really demoting yourself to third string. Even if Brie doesn't care as much, she's still Daniel Bryan's wife.
Yes.
Or Bryan Danielson's wife. Yeah. So she'll get some extra love just by osmosis.
Yeah, no. That's why I'm a little interested. I don't even dislike them at all. I mean, once again, you know.
Oh.
But yeah. Any kind of narrative that they were misused or abused and throughout their time in WWE is absolutely laughable, though.
Oh, has that been floated out there?
Oh yes. Oh, you didn't hear about, okay. This Mikazi fella, who is supposedly Sasha Banks' husband, you know, Mercedes Moné's husband, even though they're never seen in public together anymore.
No.
Said, I can't wait to see what you ladies do with the shackles off. Shackles? They have three reality shows. Don't you support them in every outside venture they ever attempted?
Yeah, I mean, they base Total Divas around the Bellas.
Yes. It's an asinine thought that there was any opportunity that was not afforded them.
Yeah, like...
Their stepfather was a company vice president.
Oh, my gosh. It honestly does not sound like fun to me to compete in that influencer world that they want to be in. Or at least, you kind of keep on saying it's more Nikki. Like, I don't feel... Because didn't they separate their Twitter accounts at some point?
No, they still have the same Twitter account.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I don't feel like I've seen anything out there from Brie, quite frankly. So,
yeah, I mean, once again, I never really had an issue with them. I thought, you know, once again, they're given a lot of opportunities. They did well with them. Nikki especially was a better worker than a lot of people give her credit for during her peak before she got injured.
Yeah, they were a real, to me, their overall careers were a real roller coaster. Like, I thought they were too overhyped when they first got in. Maybe the Bella Magic stuff kind of worked because they actually looked like twins then.
Yes.
And then they went downhill sometime after that. And then, when Brie started dating Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, you could definitely see that her in-ring work became influenced by his in-ring work.
Yeah.
And I thought that they really started to improve and really maintain something of a peak for a while, like in that kind of time frame.
I mean, they did. I mean, they really did. But of course, over time, the standard of work amongst women's wrestlers increased in WWE, certainly. Maybe not so much in AEW. Maybe they'll find a home in AEW. with their women's division is headed.
Yeah, that's the other thing that, like, I don't see that that's worth it for them. You know what I mean?
It might not be. It might not be. Once again, Nikki's got her neck issues. You know, Bree's got two. You know, they both have kids. Bree has two. though. I mean, they're going to continue their podcast. You know, they might get credit.
I mean, I know that you and I don't talk about it, but why would Brie be hitting the road after her husband went back home to cry over his loss?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be an interesting turn of events? But yeah, I guess, yeah, I don't really see it. Like, they don't really have anything to prove. I feel like they got a pretty decent send-off overall. Like, I'm sure it wasn't ideal, but because of the injury issues, but still, I don't feel like they have anything unresolved to finish up in wrestling before, you know, if they want to continue to have moved on, maybe.
No, I mean, once again, it's all going to depend on the fickle world of the entertainment industry and other adjacent industries of fashion and whatnot, whether they want to do business with the Garcia twins or want Nikki Garcia to host some reality show or what have you.
Oh, yeah. I guess I wonder if she's going to keep her gig on... because they were calling her Bella still for...
Yes.
Barmageddon.
I mean, that's the thing that of theirs that was probably the least smart, was pushing everything with that Bella name. I mean, all credit in the world to one Austin Creed / Xavier Woods for getting the company to basically underwrite all his video game stuff under his real name.
He is a smart gentleman.
Yes, he is very smart.
he really kind of made out there in that situation. Much to his family's delight, I'm assuming, at some point. Oh, man. Yeah. I guess I don't know if that Barmageddon's coming back. Did you ever watch that?
I never really watched it, no. It's probably something that will not make more than one season. But then again, I thought that about Chris Lee Knows Best, and here we are, they're both in prison, and we still got new episodes somehow. 10 years later.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, that was one where we did, the wife and I watched it, because she's like, oh, you know, she was watching wrestling with me the one time, and she's like, oh, that looks fun. She likes Blake Shelton on The Voice, so she figured, why not give it a crack? It was painful. I'm like, how are you making drunk fun games just painful to watch here? People not really being drunk does not help. It's just like, hey, it's like me going out to a craft brewery where it's just like, hey, yeah, I'm just kind of casually having a beer here and doing games. It's just like, okay. Like, I want to see people play beer pong when they're just trashed out of their minds. I mean, I know that I'm not in that game anymore, but I guess I'd rather see 20-somethings doing this instead of... And what... Oh, they brought on quote-unquote contestants. Well, no, they brought on contestants who were celebrities, but they were representing someone who had a moment of shame on the interwebs.
Oh. See, now that's where they went wrong. It just should have been a celebrity thing, and just let them get hammered. Celebrities with a normal person partner, that never works because there's no chemistry there. The celebrity doesn't really want to be there.
They definitely don't want to be talking to the normal person at all. We watched one episode and we were out. It was just like, okay, this isn't entertaining, so... I hope that Blake Shelton isn't quitting The Voice just to go full time on Barmageddon, because I don't think he's going to be doing that. Anything else to talk about in the world of wrestling before heading on out of here, sir?
No, I think we've hit it pretty good this week.
Beltane beer, yet again in the Kevin is clearing out his fridge. This one is from Warped Wing Brewing, which is in Dayton, Ohio. Krantz, German style Kolsch. It's with real cranberries, well, real cranberry juice. It was one that really came out for winter purposes. And yeah, I figured it was time to get rid of it. We did actually get a little bit of snow today. So why not have a cold weather beer? 5.2% alcohol is a very light and drinkable beer should you enjoy cranberries. And I believe Dayton Warp Wing is sold all over the state and maybe several other states. So keep your eye on it. Very tasty beer. Their original proprietor, and I'm not sure if it is still the case, was an architect at one point in his life. So good on him for getting out of the architecture game and going into the brewery game. So that is the hashtag Beltane beer of the show. My name is at DeFrango11 on the Twitters. His is at StuntCali. The brand is at StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.